Hi, I'm Terry Moore, your host. Welcome to season two of the Travel Tube Podcast, where travel is about the anticipation, the preparation, and the satisfaction of it all. And two is all about the vibe. Hello and welcome to the Travel Tube Podcast. When it comes to travel, I often say that I can judge how well a traveler likes a destination by the number of times they visit. So if I apply that standard to myself, my personal travels, I would have to say that Dubai is that place, that destination that I kind of like a lot. It is the one destination that I have returned to several times and I plan to visit again. There are many reasons I like Dubai, but today I want to talk about the cuisine and the upscale dining experience. My guest today is Courtney Brandt. She is an expat living in Dubai and a food blogger. Hello, Courtney. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Yes, I'm really excited to have you here to talk about two of my two personal favorite things, travel to Dubai, and food, of course, you know, who doesn't?
These are things I'm very well acquainted in, yes.
Yeah. So we should have quite a nice little chat here. So please tell us a little about yourself and the path that led you to Dubai.
Sure. So in 2007, my husband accepted a job. We thought we wanted to be expats. It happened to be Dubai. The United Arab Emirates were really growing at the time, and so it was the right time to go. We said 1 to 2 years, and it's now we're in our 14th year. We've been fortunate enough to live in not only Dubai, but also Abu Dhabi and Doha. We've had 2 countries and 3 cities.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So I've been to Abu Dhabi, you know. So, wow, 14 years. That's pretty nice.
Capital. And when I was there, I was working at NYU. I was in higher education before I got into food writing. And once I left there, it was 2016. And to focus on writing not only as an author, but also kind of the food writing as well. So I really haven't looked back since then.
Wow. That's awesome. I love it. So it said that, the next big thing is everywhere in Dubai, and it's what drives those who come to build a life there. Was that part of your, if not part of your initial motivation, the fact that you've been there 14 years when you only planned on 2, did that play into it in any way?
We just kept being afforded really good opportunities. I think that, you know, look, you love travel, I love travel, and Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Doha, they're all really centered. So, you know, in a given year, I know it's going to sound like a bragging, but it is very easy to visit, you know, 6 countries. And that's just as short as flying, you know, from the East Coast, you know, like New York down to Miami or something. So I think the opportunities both in the career, we've made some amazing friends here. And then, you know, travel has really kept us excited to be here. We feel lucky to be here. And I think we're going to keep staying here as well.
Yeah. Well, I do have some friends who have actually considered making that, you know, retirement move and staying in the region some. And then some who were led there by, you know, profession, education, and things who have, you know, settled in quite nicely. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's, I have a friend who's also looking to retire here. The rules, you know, they change quite a bit. Obviously, you need to have a residency visa to live and work here or to be on a sponsorship like I am. However, there's now a golden visa. There's certain financial requirements it takes to make that. But I can see a future where, you know, if you had, you know, the money in place to purchase a home or something like that, that there might be a visa that aligns to that. And it is, you know, it's a fun city to me. It can be quite warm. I'm not going to lie. It's already up into the, 80s and 90s here in mid-April, which I wasn't quite ready for. But there are, you still have, excellent healthcare and a really diverse population. Looking outside into the States, I feel very fortunate to be around so many cultures and to maybe not have some of the prejudices that exist in the U.S.
Yeah, so the temperatures, yeah, you couldn't have said it better. I kind of, my clients would say, oh, I want to go, to Dubai in July. I'm like, oh.
Don't.
I say, you might want to, rethink that, and we'll discuss and I'll tell them why, but.
We usually tell people between Thanksgiving and April.
Yeah.
Even this year, it would have been too much. But Thanksgiving is usually, it's nice enough. It still can be quite warm. December's beautiful. January can actually even be a little cold for us.
Yeah.
With February and March being quite nice.
Yeah. I usually travel to Dubai in March.
Yeah.
Perfect. So, yeah, that has been a month. So, from what I've read about you, you kind of self-identify as a feminist. How has that played out over the past 14 years that you've been an expat in the GCC?
Excellent question. I will say, certainly when I was living in Doha, and again, this is just my experience, I cannot speak for every woman who lived there, because of the labor staff that were there to, that are working on the World Cup 2022, the gender imbalance was massive. We're talking like 70% of the population is male and 30% is female. And I don't think I ever felt more like, whoa, I'm a woman. I usually just walk through life like, hi, yep, that's me. I'm a woman.
Right.
But in Doha, especially, I felt much more uncomfortable, much more often, not in Education City where I worked and not, in the building where I lived, but kind of out and about. I really didn't go out like I do here in Dubai. Abu Dhabi is just a quieter city, and I was fortunate again to work at a pretty liberal campus, so it was never an issue there. And in Dubai, I think you find the people that, like attracts like, so that, kind of our group of friends and the women in my book club and women that I look up to would kind of have the same feelings as I do. And I also, believe in rights for my hijabi sisters as well. I look at what's going on in France and I don't think that's okay because I think, women shouldn't be controlled in any capacity. So, if I have a friend and she's Muslim and she wants to recover, that's entirely her choice and I support her in it. So I think, feminism can have, some people can read that in a bad way, but I read it in a supportive way. So I want to support all women, women of color, women who recover, women who look like me, and any woman or someone who identifies as a woman, no matter where they are in the world.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So just curious, I wanted to, kind of put that out there because there are differences,
I would say that I'm much more aware of because when I first moved here, and it's a little less the case now, but I usually keep my shoulders covered. It depends on where I'm going, but if I was going to a mall, I might dress a little more conservatively than I would when I was home in the States. And I think we were in Vegas 2013 and I was just looking around at all this skin and just because I'm not used to seeing it.
Yeah.
I do live in a Muslim country. So I'm a guest in this country. That's how I view it. It's in my best interest, depending on where I'm going. I feel like I don't need to cover my head because I'm not practicing, but I do try and be respectful when I'm in public places.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that's one of the things when I, tour with groups, we have that talk about, being respectful of the country and understanding that there are differences. And we go over some of the, the protocols and things that, people need to be aware of. No one has ever had a problem with it, but it's about the awareness and ultimately the respect. So,
great.
Yeah.
Great. And I think that's a good conversation to have.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So often when I use frequency to kind of, gauge how well a client likes a destination. So if I were to apply that same measurement to myself, I would have to say that I'd like Dubai quite a lot. I'm not a big repeater in terms of traveling to destinations because the world is so big and I have this desire to like cover as much of it as possible. But Dubai is one of those destinations that I have repeated and I will go again. So with that said, you know,
you'll have to come see me. I'm going to have to meet you next time you're in town, obviously.
Oh yeah. And it probably won't be too far off. So yes, we'll definitely connect. Yeah. And, so you couple that, you know, how I gauge that with the other thing that I totally like, which is food. So having this conversation with you, it's pretty golden. And so as we talk about, you know, those two things, I really want you to expound a little bit about Courtney, the food blogger.
Yes. So I, my little origin story that I like to say is that I was supposed to go to Nepal. We canceled last minute because there was a monsoon. And because my friends and I had the time off, we looked where else we could go. That ended up being Copenhagen. Oh. And at the time we went to Copenhagen, it was home to Noma, which is the was at the time, you know, very well-recognized restaurant, if not the best restaurant. We watched the Anthony Bourdain special, and he went there. And I thought, do you know what? We should try and get in. We're leaving that night. I'm asking for reservations on Friday night, right, before 7:30 p.m. So we get into Noma, and to me, Ada Zatar, which is where you can find me everywhere, fine dining is something that should be accessible. Everyone should feel that they shouldn't be intimidated. And that's how Noma made us feel. Even though we ate ants and, you know, like 20 courses of food, I think that we're very fortunate to be, you know, kind of in this modern world where if you want to go to the best restaurants in a city, you can do that. And it's a profession that no matter what the cuisine you're interested in, or, you know, the caliber chef or whatever you want to pay, you can find the best of that food. So Ada Zatar was, I'm a fiction writer as well, but I had kind of like extra time because I can only do so much book writing in a day. Yeah. And the food writing came out of that. And so developing a voice that was honest, but really I only asked two questions. Would I go back? Is it worth the price? Because everything else is subjective, right? At the end of the day, you might like pizza, and of course I like pizza too, but we might like the pizza differently.
Right.
Or I might think that pizza is too expensive or whatever it is. So I really, really try and be transparent about also when I'm invited, which is most of the time. In the US, I think influencers do a much better job of sharing that information. Here in Dubai, we're a little less so. So you'll always see on my feed, if I'm a guest, my first hashtag is always invited. And I'll mention if something is gifted to me. I'd like to see more of that happen in the industry as well.
Okay. All right. Nice. Okay. That's interesting. I don't have much experience on blogging. I've tried to, you know, start a little one with my travel to, you know, brand and everything. But it's just so... Just all the invites.
It's time consuming. That's why I'm loving. I've shifted really towards my newsletter. And because Instagram was too short and the blog was too long and I was putting all this time in, and really I'm writing now for magazines. So I'd be writing something for like the third time and it just wasn't as fresh to me. So the newsletter is a really fun way. I share it once a week, every Friday, and it's got foodie links from around the world. It's, you know, where I've been in the week. You know, did I eat something really good? And I've had really a good time with that. So that's maybe something, I don't know, anyone who's listening, yourself, it's a little less intimidating to do just a newsletter versus a whole blog.
Right. Well, we're definitely going to have you share, you know, that information with the listeners so that they can, you know, sign in and sign up and get the newsletter. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm sure it's news I could use, you know, I'd like to share the information as well. So Dubai is known for a lot of things, the luxury shopping, the modern architecture, the vibrant nightlife, all of which I love about it, and just a few things. So tell me, is Dubai a place for that person seeking a unique, gratifying culinary experience?
I think what we can offer is you can go to experience many cuisines of the world from the people that are making that food, that are from that region, that are from that place. There's very few cities where you could have all of that in one place. So even better now, we just opened the Time Out Market, which is attached to Dubai Mall. And I'm sure you would know Dubai Mall quite well.
Yeah.
Souq Al-Bahar. So views of the Burj Khalifa and 13 or 15 locally developed restaurants. And that was really important to me. I had a chance to sit down with the CEO of all Time Out Markets.
Oh.
And their approach to being really like mindful of who they chose to come in is important. And you could have all, like, we've got Vietnamese foodies from Vietnam. We have Pit Fire, an American who makes the best pizza in the city. Oh. You've got Asian food. You've got desserts. You've got all this stuff. And they're all not chain restaurants. You know, they're locally developed. And so in one night, you could just do all of those, which I would highly recommend. Price points are good. You get the little plates, you get the views, it's all done. And then you could go into one of my favorite restaurants, Tresson Studio, if you want really modern Indian, beautiful setting, super talented chef. And also, I think, a very decent price point for kind of that fine dining. We've got seafood, we've got traditional, you know, Emirati cuisine or Levant, you know, for your hummus and your shawarma and your mezza and all of that good stuff. So Dubai's kind of like, what are you in the mood for? We've got it.
Well, that's good to know. So the market, it's wouldn't be mistaken for a food court.
No, it's very much what I would call, this will sound pretentious, a food hall is what I would call it versus a food court, because it also has free bars in it. So if you're a person who's listening who enjoys a drink, you could enjoy a drink there. You don't have to, obviously. Mm-hmm. The way it's set up and defined is very much in the style of like a European food hall. So a lot of, you know, different vendors, and you can come in and you could all have different things. If you want ramen and I want to have pizza, we can do that.
Okay, that's nice. Definitely something that will be a new experience for me on my next visit. Yeah.
Literally, like, not even a week. A week ago, I was at the launch, so it opened a week ago on Wednesday. So wow. we're really proud of it.
So that wasn't necessarily, that didn't necessarily come out of a plan for the Dubai Expo and preparing for that. Because Dubai Expo had gone according to plan, that would have been a little late.
Correct. So yeah. Originally, I believe the Time Out Market was supposed to open Q4, I'll say September of last year. And obviously Expo was supposed to be launching in October. They did not have anything to do with each other, but I know people that are involved in the pavilions, and the food choice will be even more authentic to those places. So it's going to be a really exciting time in the fall.
Oh, nice. Okay. So what type of fine dining experience can a first-time visitor to Dubai expect? Like, where should they concentrate? I know you said there's a variety.
Yeah, I have a list on Instagram because I get asked a lot. But if you're really into fine dining, the two I would name are Tresson Studio, which I recently mentioned. And then also, we have a wonderful Japanese restaurant, sushi bar called Hoseki, and it's at the Bulgari Hotel, and it's just like going to Tokyo. I know maybe you don't want to go to Tokyo while you're in Dubai, but if you can't go all the way around, you could go there.
Yeah.
They have the omakase approach, which is obviously they bring you up around sushi, and it's absolutely phenomenal. We have a lot of people, I think, view Michelin stars in different ways. So people have worked in Michelin star kitchens. A lot of celebrity chefs have opened here. So if that's something you're interested in, you know, your favorite chef or a chef that you might be interested in trying, that sort of cuisine is here. But we don't, I wouldn't say we have a ton of fine dining. We do have kind of more upscale, but not the true degustation, not the true, tasting menu, that sort of thing. We're more like, there is nice dining, but not fine dining.
Okay, understood. So that's just a way to manage the expectations. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So let's say it's Friday in Dubai, and I know a little bit about Fridays in Dubai, and I know where I'm headed, where, you know, so we're talking brunch. It's a big deal. Do you have a personal favorite spot for brunch? And
I do. I will say at the time of the recording, we are still not officially having brunch. The government is keeping socially distant. So hopefully that's changed by the time this drops. But just to let everyone know that because of music and keeping people close, they have not done it.
Yeah.
When it is allowed. I do love. I've been 5 times, maybe more. Fire Lake Grill at Radisson Blue, of all things. Does it have live music? It does. Does it have food brought to your table? It does. Does it have amazing service? It does. Can you then go and get, like, they have a whole barbecue section? It does. And the value for money to me is really, really great. I've sent so many people there, and the feedback has always been, I had a great time. And that to me is, you could pay more or less, and there's different party brunches and that sort of thing, but the live music, outdoor, views of the Burj, you know, we've just always had such a wonderful time. They've taken really good care of us. And I, like, that's my default. That's where I go. That's where I had my husband's Christmas party. I was like, we're going to go here because this is where we have to go.
Yeah.
You know, obviously if you have a cuisine in mind, there's probably one for you, but to me, Charlotte Grill, no questions asked.
Ah, nice. Okay. I love it. So what does a week in your food world look like? I heard you just mentioned some of the openings of, you know, the food house. And so
we're recording this on the very first day of Ramadan. So it's a very quiet week. Everyone's kind of going to readjust. Last week though, so fortunate. I got invited to a ceviche class with Richard Sandoval, who's a chef, obviously, from the States.
Yes.
He's actually from Mexico, but he has many, many restaurants in the States.
Yes.
He was visiting, and it was lovely to sit down and kind of pick his brain. And then Tuesday was the launch of the Time Out market. And then Thursday we had a visiting chef from her restaurant is ranked in the Latin America top 50 of the world's 50 best. And she did a collaboration with my favorite chef at Trusting Studio, Chef Himanshu.
Oh.
And that was a very special evening. In between that, I might get sent food. Today I got sent something. Somebody launched a wings place. They're calling it Stranger Wings.
Okay.
I just happen to have a relationship with them. I also got sent a beautiful box of broth.
Oh.
Team here called the Broth Lab. So every week is different. It's really interesting because there's always something opening, or somebody's got a new menu, or there's a visiting chef, or we're celebrating the season of like truffle or mango or whatever it is. I feel very blessed to live in a city with so much culinary diversity.
Yeah, that sounds like a very busy week, and you didn't have to spend any time in your own kitchen much, huh?
No, I didn't. I didn't have to spend any money either. That's
right.
I pay the Uber fees, but other than that, this weekend, I'm covering 2 new restaurants that I'll be writing up. So I'm even sometimes paid to go out, which is the dream.
Very active. Okay. Woo. I don't know what that would do to my figure. I've already had to.
there's a treadmill in this room behind you, but I have to really concentrate on where I want to spend my time, because I am lucky to be invited to so many places. There are just limits to the day.
Yeah. And I'm sure just because of the nature of what you do, you are selective. And what you, yeah,
right.
You write about, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a brand. You know, you're a brand, I'm a brand, and who we want to be associated with is important.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. So 2019 was the last time I was actually in Dubai, and I was set to return in, 2020. But, pandemic kind of halted everything, but, I wasn't the only one. had their plans interrupted. So I'm not going to make this all about me. But, since we've started to emerge from the pandemic, I know Dubai has been, moving forward and planning, to launch some things in terms even of the expo. What is it looking like on the other side of the pandemic?
It's looking good. again, I feel so fortunate. We've had so much of our population vaccinated for free. And we were, you know, I was fully vaccinated by the end of February. It's just been really well handled. It's interesting. Like, there's so many things to look forward to. And as you mentioned, you know, Expo is one of them. And it's nice to have these drivers in place of maybe the Atlantis is going to open, like, an even bigger Atlantis that's coming online. Q4 is going to be packed. Like, if I don't even know if I'm going to be able to keep up, but we still have hotel openings, you know, we have different things. And I'll say it, I can't confirm anything about this, but I will say, since living here for 14 years, it's always been a rumor that we would one day have casinos. Hopefully no one's going to call me out on that, but
you'll one day have what?
A casino.
Ooh.
Always been a rumor. Again, I haven't heard anything specific. I'm just saying of a rumor that's always been in place since I've lived here is that. I don't know what happens after Expo, but it's interesting to see, because this city and this country will always come up with something new.
Oh, wow. So I hadn't heard that, but that seems pretty major to me. I'm like, that's interesting. Okay, well, hey.
Again, watch this space, because I don't know anything. It's just literal talk. So it's not coming from an official source. This is not groundbreaking. This is 100% a rumor.
Well, you know what? We know some truth comes out of rumor. You know, people, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. There's still plenty to do and see without that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not a gambler per se anyway, but it's not anything that would have, you know, stopped me from coming to Dubai or anyone who's traveled with me. So, yeah. Let's see. So I've already kind of said, and I won't keep harping on the fact that my visit in 2020 didn't take place. And I actually had plans to return February of this year for the expo, but again, didn't happen. But, you know, I know that as part of the expo, the food, well, a lot of industries in general, but even more specifically, the food and beverage sector were really gearing up and preparing for and had great expectations to what would come during that, 6 month period? Was it October to March?
Yeah, October to April.
Yeah, October to April. So,
yeah. And there's, again, my friends who are involved with different pavilions, most of them are really looking at sourcing or providing very authentic food. So, you know, if I go to the Singapore pavilion, that's going to be food that is going to taste like I'm in Singapore, or the China pavilion, or it's so exciting. Yeah. I have a friend who went to Milan for the past expo, and he was just, you know, seeing his pictures and all the things that have, you know, turned out for it. I can't wait. And my husband did design work on a number of the pavilions as well. So there's a really close connection.
Nice.
It's open in as much as that right now, it might be closed now actually, but you could go and kind of just walk around the site. You couldn't, nothing's officially open, obviously.
Right.
But I do think it's going to be an exciting time for foodies and hopefully we'll get a lot of visitors flying through.
Yeah. So I hope that the, you know, impact of the pandemic hasn't been so great that, you know, it's going to greatly diminish the experience. I hope you're right.
Yeah. I hope that so many people have worked so hard, and I know that applies to other industries as well, but so many people worked so hard to see this. I, for all their hard work, I do hope that the world does come get to visit.
Yeah. Well, they can count on me. I still plan to come. I still have, you know, groups that are, you know, looking to come as well. So I'm kind of looking at probably, it'll be towards the end, maybe, you know, early February of 2022, but I still plan to come.
We'll be here.
Yep, looking forward to it. So as we begin to kind of wrap things up, please give us an insider tip for the, I guess, dining upscale dining experience in Dubai?
So the two I've mentioned for sure already. You know, one that is, so I'll here's a good one. There's two other places I'd love to mention. You've got Folly by Nick and Scott. And Nick and Scott are two of our local guys. They trained, I believe, under Gordon Ramsay. They've opened this restaurant. It's in the Souk Madinat. I know you have probably been.
No.
It's near the Burj Al Arab, so it's got beautiful views. Best place for sundowners in the city, like hands down. You're just going to get just stunning views and a really good menu on top of it. So Folly by Nick and Scott. And then if you don't have the money to stay at One and Only, which we all might not have,
right,
it's a very nice hotel chain, you could go out for drinks at 101, which is like a marina kind of, it's the end of the Palm, so it's really interesting to even get there.
Okay.
And then it has, you know, seafood, and you're kind of looking back into the city. On that Alici, which is at the Blue Waters near Caesars, near the marina, for Italian, really nice Italian food. They've got this beautiful terrace. You're looking back at all the lights of the marina. I just can't think of a better spot, really. But anyone should just ask me, because I'm always happy to share. You know, I think it comes down to also, how much do you want to spend?
Yeah.
If you're staying in a part of town, like if you're staying in the Grand Hyatt, I wouldn't tell you to come across all the way across town to go somewhere, because there's going to be great restaurants closer to you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could always make your way around DIFC. There's some incredible dining there. Boca for Mediterranean, and also very sustainable menu, very sustainability driven. I love Matt Nomar. I think the work they do is fantastic. We're kind of like hip date night, just right around the corner from Boca is Bibi. Kind of like Asian-ish, but you could sit at the pass, you know, you can kind of see Chef Alex and his team do what they do best. Wild, really. But again, I'm going to say point everyone to Time Out Market, because it's a great place to start. And then if you want to have like one fancy meal, go to any of the places that I've mentioned. But there's, you know, it really just depends on what style of cuisine you're interested in, because we do have it all.
Oh, great. So I generally, and actually the only place I have stayed a couple different places, but I primarily stay in Jumeirah Beach.
Yeah. And so, they just did a refurb. The reef, did you stay after? No, the refurb happened last year. Or did it happen the year before? I kind of lost a year. They refurbished the whole thing.
Wow.
And that whole Jumeirah cluster is just incredible, because you have four hotels, if you include the Burj Al Arab, and as you know, like F&B for days, just walk along the beach and figure out what you want to do.
Yes, and that's, I kind of like that area, because, you know, I think it was the Marriott that I stayed in one time, and it was just kind of not a lot. I mean, you could do some things right around, but Jumeirah Beach and some of the other places, it's like everything is right there. I like that.
Well, the Emirates is very close as well.
Yeah.
So you want to go skiing, and then you want to
go.
We got you.
Yes. I haven't personally done it, but I have had some clients that did that experience. So Traveltude is all about the way you think about the travel experience. That's what I've created Traveltude to be. It's the anticipation, the preparation, the satisfaction of it all, and most definitely the vibe. Give us one or two words that you could use to describe your travel to based on that.
Authentic. Interesting.
That
would be my two. That's what I'm whenever I travel, that's what I want to see is authentic and interesting.
Nice. Very good. Very good. Well, Courtney, I have thoroughly enjoyed our chat, and I thank you for the time you spent with us, just kind of, you know, highlighting some of the culinary experiences for Dubai. It's definitely something helpful, and I'll use this podcast to, you know, share it with my followers, and of course, you know, those that I personally you know, tour with to Dubai. So it's been right. And I can't wait to connect with you the next time.
I can't wait either. You have my details. I fully expect to see you in 2022.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So tell us before we end how people can connect with you socially and otherwise. I know you have some very exciting things that you do, the writing, the publications and everything, and definitely the newsletter.
Yeah, so I'm on at A to Zaatar. And that's on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I write under my name, Courtney Grant. I also write under a pen name, Ann Benjamin. And then the newsletter, which is the best way to really connect with me and kind of get my, what I'm about. You can go back and see back issues and see if you're interested. I think it's literally just atozaatar.substack.com. And I keep saying it, I'll spell it A-T-O. Z-A-A-T-A-R. Zaatar is a local spice. So it's like saying A to Z, but I'm saying A to Zaatar.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you very much again, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, thank you so much for your time.
All right, thank you. Thank you for tuning in to the Travel 2 podcast. Join me on Tuesday, July 13th for more Travel 2. Tune into your favorite streaming service to ensure you never miss an episode of the Travel 2 podcast. And you can always listen on my website, www.farmoretravels.com. The Travel 2 private Facebook group is buzzing as people share their travel experiences, pictures, and travel tips from their summer vacations. It's on and it's popping. Hop on over to Facebook and join the private Travel 2 group today. Until next time, enjoy your travels and make sure you carry plenty of travel cute. We'll be right back.